This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. We'll be reading from verses 23 through 35. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1527. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." May God bless the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before the Lord. I will offer a general prayer, and then we're all going to join together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray. Gracious God, we are humbled by your mercies that are new every morning. And we are so thankful that you do yearn to commune with all of us, and you yearn to just settle our souls. And Jesus, we thank you for your forgiveness, for how you yearn to commune with each one of us. May we just seek you, and may we find you, and may we just ask and knock and seek and find, and may we receive all of your promises, the promises of peace, the promises of love, the promises of joy. Oh, Jesus, we just turn to you right now. You've heard all these prayers. You've heard all these testimonies of protection and how you are moving in this church, your family. And we pray that you would continue to pour out yourself in your Holy Spirit, in our lives first. And may we in turn pour out to those that we come across and to those people. May we pour out the love and the peace and the truth and the genuine kindness and compassion. Jesus, we just pray that you would find us faithful in that. And oh God, we pray for those who are ill. We pray for those who are struggling from car accidents. We pray for those who are recovering from surgeries this day. We pray for those who are grieving over the loss of whatever it is. We pray for your comfort. We pray for your strength. We pray for your peace to just satisfy their very being. And may you be blessed, may you be honored, and may you be praised for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you want to do in all of our life, in each of our lives. And Jesus, we commit these praises to you. We just lift these testimonies unto you, and we commit these concerns unto your care, even the ones that have yet to be mentioned, but we mention them in our hearts before you right now. Father, most of all, we thank you for the opportunity to share one with another and to share with you through prayer. And may you just meet us in this time. And we join together and pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray by praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Braceland Flood reports that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, Robert E. Lee said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life." Yes, friends, forgiveness and unforgiveness is like that. When we fail to forgive those who have wronged us, we soon become victims to bitterness, which will ultimately poison all aspects of our lives. This is the very truth that Jesus knew very well, and Jesus lived a life which was characterized by forgiving others. He forgave the woman caught in adultery by saying, "Neither do I condemn you, but now go and sin no more." Jesus forgave Judas even in the midst of being betrayed, and he showed this forgiveness by kissing him, all the while knowing what was waiting him, being crucified. Jesus experienced the denial of Peter while he was being tried in a mock court, and yet Jesus forgave Peter and eventually reinstated him after his resurrection. Jesus even prayed while he was being crucified and asked God the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do, speaking of those who were killing the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, Jesus knew what it was to be offended. He knew what it meant to experience the hurt, the pain, the discomfort, and even be tempted to allow bitterness and anger and resentment to take hold in his life. The scriptures, they tell us that we have a great high priest who can relate to all things which we will encounter throughout our lives. And it should be no surprise when we look into the model after which Jesus instructs us to pray that we see forgiveness at the core. In fact, if we were to look at verses 9 through 15 of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we would see forgiveness is mentioned 6 different times. And it is truly the central theme of this section of Jesus' teaching. We have been looking at how Jesus instructs us to pray, and just to remind us that there are 6 petitions or 6 requests included in this model of how you and I should pray. And it's called the Lord's Prayer. The first 3 being requests that we present toward God and what we want to happen here on this earth, His will, and how our world would be impacted and our life. Last week we began looking at the last 3 requests, and included in this model of prayer, all 3 of these requests are directed at us. We saw last week how God will meet our needs, and sometimes our physical needs are met through others within the body of Christ, or other believers, or even the church. Through that request, Jesus speaks to you and me, and he advises us to make a plea for what we need physically. The next request that Jesus instructs you and me to include in our prayers is the deepest need all people have in their soul. I'll say that again. This next request is the deepest need that all people walking the face of this earth have in their soul, and it is the need for forgiveness. Did you hear that? The very deepest thing a person who lives that they have is the need to be forgiven. And this next request that Jesus instructs you and me to include in our time of prayer is indeed the deepest need for a person's soul. It's the need for forgiveness. Let's listen to the instruction of Jesus on how you and I should pray from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men or people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Jesus instructs us in verse 12 for you and me to request forgiveness as we grant others forgiveness. I want us all to hear that this morning. When you and I say the Lord's Prayer, we are asking the perfect, the holy God who inhabits eternity, the one who created you and me, to actually refrain from forgiving us when we fail to forgive others. Here's the problem with that, friends. When we fail to grant forgiveness, we are failing to accept our portion of the problem. And yes, I said, we all have a portion of the problem. And let me explain what I mean. You and I are involved in this problem called sin. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one of us outside of our relationship with Jesus who is or ever will be righteous. Not one. No, not one. We can try and try as we may to minimize the impact of this prayer by dissecting the words which are translated, such as debts and trespasses, or even sins. But the meaning for all these words really rests as to have a spiritual debt. In other words, you and me, we find ourselves indebted to a holy God, and this debt was created when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. It places us all in that same category who are able and unable to correct the situation. There is nothing in your power, nothing in my power, that you or I can do to change our indebtedness to God. Nothing. Now, God knew that, and God decided to do something about it. He gave Jesus, his only son, so he, meaning Jesus, could do for you and me what we could never do. What an amazing thought. What an incredible thought to ponder that very aspect of salvation. You nor I could ever achieve peace with the holy God, so Jesus came and he purchased that peace for us. You nor I could ever right the wrong which was committed in the Garden of Eden. And yet Jesus came and gave you and me the righteousness which was his. In fact, friends, the Bible tells us that he, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, so that in Christ, in Jesus, you and I could become the righteousness of God. I wonder if you heard that. Jesus took all our mistakes. He took all our faults and failures and flaws, and he gives you and I the opportunity to become the righteousness of God in Christ. Awesome. I could stop right here. We could all ponder all of this and begin to think what that truly means. What it means is that we have been accepted to God through Christ. We who once were an offense to God. We who once who were alienated to God, but in Christ, he took the alienation, he took the separation, he took the pain and the hurt and the offense, and he gave you and me everything that we didn't even ever have. The acceptance of a holy God. Friends, this is why prayer is the path to peace. You see, when we pray, we're allowing the Lord to exchange a desperate, a hopeless and helpless situation for a situation of hope and promise and security and peace. Jesus takes our despair and discouragement, and he turns it into peaceful harmony with God. But friends, it takes prayer for you and me to experience that peace. It takes prayer. We have to ask, because prayer is the path to peace. I want you and me to fully understand that. If we don't ask, we will never receive. If we never seek, we will never find. If we never knock, it will never be opened to you or to me. Years ago, I was in a prayer meeting. There was another believer who was further in their journey of faith than I was. I remember praying with this individual each week, and they would constantly, week in and week out, they would pray and ask God for forgiveness for them. I'll be honest, I was shocked, and I was even stunned at the thought. You see, I wondered, why keep asking God to forgive you? You have received forgiveness. It's all done, is what I thought. It honestly did not make any sense to me. I thought, once you received the forgiveness of Christ, there was no need of continually asking him to forgive you if you didn't do anything wrong. Here's the problem with that thought process. Even at our best, we are flawed. Even our best falls short of the glory of God. Friends, Jesus gives us a picture of the continual forgiveness which we all need when he washed the disciples' feet. You could say that Jesus has washed and wants to wash your feet and my feet each day. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus told Simon Peter only his feet needed to be washed after Peter asked Jesus to wash all of him. Jesus' response was that if you are clean, meaning if your spirit, if your soul is clean, then you don't need to have that washed anymore. But his statement that your feet need washed indicates that the daily travels through life, you will become polluted and contaminated. You will become changed if you do not continually ask Christ to wash what the world is constantly doing to you and to me. And friends, we might not be doing anything inherently wrong. And yet, we all need that constant washing of the forgiveness of Christ. And that washing, it does not remove physical dirt. And I don't believe that that's what Jesus was speaking of either when he was telling Peter, and he tells you and me, that life will and does contaminate us even when we are simply journeying through our normal routine. Sin pollutes, it contaminates. Yes, this life will make us dirty and in need of a washing, a spiritual washing, the washing of Jesus' forgiveness. And this is the blessing of Jesus' forgiveness. And friends, it's available and it should be experienced by all Christians every day. Friends, this is the blessing of prayer. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord's forgiveness each day. Even at our best, we are in desperate need of God's forgiveness because, friends, prayer is the path to peace. Ask God to forgive you. Ask the Lord to pardon your sin. Ask Jesus to cleanse your heart, soul, and mind. Do it each day. Do it every day. This is our confession. This is our plea. And what confession is a simple agreement. It's you and me agreeing with God the Father of saying, yes, I agree that I am inherently sinful. Yes, I agree that even at my best I fall short. And yes, I agree, Jesus, I am in desperate need of you. And it's asking and allowing Christ to meet that need. The opposite of that is not an option, friends, to feel that we have no need for the forgiveness of God. If we feel we are okay, we're going to feel that we're good enough. And friends, there is no one good enough. Agree with God of your condition. Do it every day. Ask, seek, and the promise of God is that you will find. You will find peace, peace like a river for your soul. Ask Jesus in prayer. Seek God in prayer. The promise is for you and for me that you and I will truly find peace because prayer is the path to peace. Friends, once we have received this pardon, the pardon of forgiveness from God, it's where you and I are called by Jesus to do something with what we have been given. We have been given forgiveness by God and from God, and Jesus implores you and me to give it away. Let me explain what I mean here. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus explains that with the same level of forgiveness we grant to others, we will receive the same from God. I want us all to know Jesus is talking about those who have received God's forgiveness in Christ. Jesus has forgiven you of the most vile and horrendous crimes committed, ever committed. The offense against a perfect and holy God who gave you life and created you and blessed you with all things throughout your life. Let that sink in. God blesses you and he blesses me, and yet he gives you and me forgiveness, and yet we are going to withhold forgiving others? It doesn't make sense. This was Jesus' message to you and to me. Once you have been forgiven, give it away by forgiving others. And this is our challenge and why we all need to experience the forgiveness of Christ each and every day so that you and I will have more forgiveness to give to others when we are wronged. Friends, you or I cannot give away what we don't have. Pray to Jesus. Ask him to forgive. It starts with prayer because prayer is the path to peace. And when you receive that peace and forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, then turn it outward and give it to those who have wronged you and those who have hurt you. Seek God and receive what the Lord has for you and for me. Don't allow life to pollute your soul. Don't allow life to contaminate your spirit. Pray to Jesus and experience prayer for what it is, the path to peace. Peace with God and peace with your soul and peace within yourself. Before I close, I'm going to give you an acronym. And it spells the word peace. And this is what I want all of us over this next week to do as we prepare to meet around the Lord's table next Sunday. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. And I want all of us throughout this next week to pray and meet Jesus. That's the first thing. The second thing, to experience what Jesus' blood purchased for you and for me. That forgiveness that truly is the only thing that can satisfy your soul and mine. And then to allow God to heal your wounds. My friends, then we need to check our own hearts. We need to check our own hearts to see if we're withholding something that God is freely giving to you and to me. And if we're withholding it, then we need to let that go and again meet Jesus in that. And then the last thing is to express your gratitude for God's forgiveness by giving forgiveness to others. So pray. Experience. Allow God to heal you. Check your own heart and express your gratitude for Christ by giving what He's given you to others. And friends, God has given us truly an amazing gift, a gift that is beyond all comprehension sometimes for me. It's a gift that could not be purchased. It's a gift that could not be obtained. It's a gift that there's nothing anyone could ever do. It's a free gift, the gift of forgiveness. And I close with this short story, a true story. In the 14th century, Robert Bruce of Scotland was leading his men in a battle to gain independence from England. Near the end of the conflict, the English wanted to capture Bruce to keep him from the Scottish crown. So they put his own, meaning Bruce's bloodhounds, on his trail. And when the bloodhounds got close, Bruce could hear their baying. His attendant said to Bruce, "What? We are done for. We're in trouble. They're on your trail, and they will reveal your hiding place." Bruce replied, "It's all right." Then he headed for a stream that flowed through the forest. He plunged in and waded upstream a short distance. When he came out on the other bank, he was in the depths of the forest. Within minutes, the hounds, tracing their master's steps, came to the bank. They went no farther. The English soldiers urged them on, but the trail was broken. The stream had carried the scent away. A short time later, the crown of Scotland rested on the head of Robert Bruce. The memory of our sins, prodded on by Satan, can be like those baying dogs. But a stream flows, red with the blood of God's own Son. By grace through faith, you are safe. No sin hound can touch you. The trail has been broken by the precious blood of Christ. The purpose of the cross, someone has observed, is to repair the irreparable. If you're here this morning, you may have received that forgiveness, but you may have bought into the lie that you no longer are good enough because of something you've done, something you've harbored, something you've held onto from your past. And my friends, my challenge to all of us is to pray and meet Jesus, to express your gratitude. Experience what Jesus' blood has purchased, to allow God to heal your wounds, to check your own heart, and then to give it away, to express your thanksgiving for what Christ has done for you and for me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are humbled for you, even with the thief on the cross. You said, "Today you will be with you in paradise." Precious Savior, we are thankful. I pray for all of us here that you would challenge us and you would move us to meet with you each and every day, to receive the continual forgiveness that we all are in desperate need of, which leads to the peace in our soul and the confidence that we only have in you. Oh God, let us not buy into the lie of what we are not, Let us not buy into the lie of the things that what we've done or might have said, that they now define us as if there's something that can define us outside of you, Jesus. But may we accept the truth that all of us who have received you, Christ our King, as our Lord and Savior, are now bought into the family of God. We have been given the right to become children of you, the Most High King, the risen Christ. Jesus, may we accept the challenge that we all need, the challenge to receive your forgiveness every day. But may we rise to the giving of others what you have given to us freely, the forgiveness that others are in desperate need of as well. We love you, O Christ. We praise you and we thank you, for it is in the wonderful and the mighty name of Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. Before we close here this morning, I just want to share with everyone that sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to go to a holy God and ask him for what he yearns to bestow upon all of us, and that's his forgiveness. I challenge you and I challenge myself this next week to pray and meet Jesus, to express and experience the gift of Christ, to allow God to meet and heal your wounds, and to choose the forgiveness of Christ, and then to express that to those in this world that are in desperate need. And friends, when we do that, it truly will be well with our soul, because the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. So in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God be your rock and the anchor for your soul. Amen.